Good morning, everybody. Welcome from our side. Thank you for joining us for this year's full year results 2016 call. I would now like to hand over to Gert De Winter.
Thank you, Marc. Maybe quickly the highlights of 2016 and then a short look forward into 2017. 2016 was another very good year for Bâloise Group. We are very satisfied with the results. We increased the profit by almost 5%, up to 535 million Swiss francs. We see very good growth in the target segments we are aiming at, meaning in non-life 3%, in the unit-linked business over 5%. The already excellent combined ratio has been brought down further by 1.1 percentage points to 92.2%, and that is despite the reserve strengthening in Germany in half year of 2016. In the life business, we're clearly adapting the business mix away from guarantees and into more capital-efficient products. We are underwriting selectively, and you see the impact structurally on the new business margin and on the interest margin that we gain out of the life business. Despite the low interest environment or even negative interest environment, our asset management business continues to provide a solid, very interesting source of profit. The balance sheet is very strong, even stronger after reserving an additional over 300 million in the life business. Given these excellent results, the proposal to the board will be to increase the dividend up to 5.20 Swiss francs per share. This means that we start 2017 in our new Simply Safe strategy with a very, very strong result, with also very ambitious goals, 1 million additional clients, one of the best employers, and 2 billion cash into the holding for investments in growth and to continue our attractive shareholder policy. Of course, we're only started, but you can already see the signals on the way with investments in new products, partnerships with fintechs, the launch of a mobile insurer in Germany, the first connected car product launched this week in Luxembourg. Simply Safe is already on its way. That would be it. I would be very willing to open up for questions. With me are Martin Wenk, our CIO, and German-Manuel Egloff, our CFO. We will be trying to deal with your difficult questions.
The first question is from Mr. Peter Eliot from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. I have three questions, if I may. The first one was on the reserve releases. You obviously did very good at the first half of the year, and you hinted that could continue in the second half. I'm just looking forward. I'm just wondering to what extent we can expect that to continue, and I'm just wondering if there's any guidance or any comments you can make there on what you might expect in the future. The second thing was just on slide 12, actually. Under loss ratio, there's an adjustment for impending losses, which has had a sort of one percentage point swing across the years. I was wondering if you could just explain what's happening there. The third question was on the life, I guess looking at slide 19. If you sort of sum up the policyholder participation and reserve strengthening, you get to sort of 402 million, which is quite a lot more than the savings result. I understand that it's in shareholders' interest to put as much into reserves as possible. This is sort of an asymmetric risk at play there. I guess I was just surprised at the extent of it, and that essentially it kind of looks like you've almost sort of put more in to reserves or policyholder than you had in the savings result. I'm just wondering if you could give us your thoughts on the dynamics there. Thank you very much.
Let me take out the first of the questions. I'll hand over to Gaiman afterwards on the more technical one. In terms of the reserve reliefs, I assume you're pointing at the non-life reserve reliefs. So if you look at last year, the profit generated by the reserves release were less, and that was actually because of old claims in Germany. If you look at 2016, we are back, I would say, to what would be a historical average of around 2 to 3% of reserve reliefs. So it's rather a normalized situation again in 2016 if you compare it to 2015. So that would be the guidance, 2 to 3% per year.
Could I just maybe add very quickly? I mean, obviously you had some significant strengthening in Germany this year. I mean, if you back that out, then the reserve releases, I think, were just over 4%. So, but maybe that's just normal volatility, and different regions contribute differently.
Yeah.
I would say so. That of course the German reserve strengthening was extraordinary, but on the other hand. And the portfolio in Switzerland is a lot bigger, and there you have certain volatilities as well. So I would say that in general, it's still the same, about the same as what we said in the past. About the impending losses, that relates to the health and accident business in Switzerland, where due to the development of the claims there, you had to reserve for future losses. But in fact, that's just because of the current situation in the claims, what's happening on the claim side. But you remember we are re-underwriting that portfolio. So that is just a regulatory rule, and that's why it's right to deduct that from the ordinary claims ratio to see the quality of the portfolio. That's just an accounting position, if you like. And then for the EBIT on life, I mean, there the most of the reserve strengthening is actually fueled by the thing what we're doing on the local gap closings, and there we are just re-reserving the guarantee rates. And just imagine if interest rates are staying where they are currently, then the average guarantee rate or the average liability still stays relatively high because there is still an ongoing gap between the returns that you get and the liabilities that you have. So therefore, it's wise to re-reserve that that liability. In Germany, you have this ZZR, so there it's legally ruled. In Switzerland, we haven't that at the moment. But of course, the regulator is discussing it as well. So we are actually doing it anyway, what we think is sensible as well, to avoid to get a regulatory a rule for that. So we think it's certainly a sensible, maybe you could say even a bit conservative politics, but on the other hand, if you distribute it to the policy or to the shareholder, that would be wrong as well, because you can actually only decide whether you do it now or later, but you have to do it anyway. And ultimately, I mean, if interest rates are, even if they are rising currently, you still have to re-reserve the technical interest rate because the average is still going down.
Okay, thanks a lot.
So actually, I mean, if the interest rate is the interest rate situation is changing a lot, you can free up the capital again.
Mm.
The second question comes from Mr. Farquhar Murray from Autonomous. Please go ahead.
Morning, gentlemen. Just two questions, if I may. Firstly, the life EBIT in the second half is a very strong 181 million Swiss francs. I think if there is some mortality benefit in there, and it would be good perhaps if you could maybe quantify that for us. Even so, it looks to be running probably a bit ahead of the guided rate of about 200 million per annum. So I just wondered if you could give us an update on that guidance on the life EBIT, in particular perhaps why it might be looking like it's running a bit better. And then secondly, on the non-life side, you're indicating adjusting for the German reserve strengthening, the combined ratio at the group level would have been about 90.3%. Is that a realistic expectation for the years ahead? Because I would have thought maybe there was a bit of favorable weather in 2016, but would be interested to get your thoughts. Thanks.
Okay, I just go for the first one. It's always difficult to predict the life of it, but I still think the 200 million is quite a fair guess, and I would stay to that. But if you say, well, is it improving in the long term? Just the question we had before. Of course, if your technical liabilities are coming down, then that's long term a possibility to get more profit out of it. However, currently I would more or less stick to those 200 million. What you have to consider is that we are still quite sensitive on what capital markets are doing just that in the last days of the year, because for example, derivatives are going through P&L there, and that's just if you have interest rate derivatives, that 1 or 2 basis points may make a difference of a double-digit million amount. So therefore, it can happen that you are a bit above. But in general, I would say the 200 million is a fair expectation, nevertheless.
Just one point of detail. I mean, what was the mortality release in the second half, by the way?
Risk result. The risk. I'll have to come back to that later. Maybe have the combined ratio there to expect a 90-ish combined ratio is maybe a bit too optimistic. You just have to consider we had floods in Belgium and Germany a bit, but we had almost no elementary losses in Switzerland. And of course, if you have a nice big hailstorm in Switzerland, that changes the situation immediately. So therefore, in a very good and lucky year, the 90s might be realistic, but I think as an expectation, it would be too optimistic.
Okay, thanks much indeed.
Information, the release of the claims reserve adjustments, so from the risk result, would be about the same as in previous year in general. So there was a one-off in it.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Mr. Stefan Schürmann from Bank Vontobel. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. I have three questions, please. The first one on the cash to the holding, just maybe can you elaborate how much cash you paid up to the holding in 2016? I'm not quite sure about that amount. I think it was 275 million in 15, and now on the base where your target is for 2 billion going forward. Then the second question, basically on the reserve addition in life, can you maybe give some more granularity on where that happened? Is that only Switzerland? Is it also Germany? And then maybe also individual and group life? And the third one, just on the runoff transaction in Germany, where you basically closed now this year, can you confirm again that there will be basically a neutral impact on P&L, and also maybe give a hint on how much solvency capital you can free up with that?
Okay, I'm starting. Cash to the holding. You see the participation earnings, which are 250-ish. And that includes the dividends which are already paid and the accrued dividends. However, the whole cash statement is not done yet, because that's now the starting point. But of course, we have interest rates as well, for example, and there are other look-through effects that are flowing to the holding. And of course, we are currently about to, let's say, to improve those flows. Up to now, until the Investors Day, the cash was not overall targeted to the holding. We had other cash buffers within the group, and that will be remanaged. So currently, the figure is not disclosed, and it's probably then next year when we have a starting point. To see, and we have to define what includes those cash flows at all. Then the reserve from for life strengthening, it's mainly the big chunk is Switzerland, and it's group life and individual life, and it's the ZZR in Germany. What we haven't had this year, but last year, is the so-called Knipperlicht reserve in Belgium, because we got an exemption there. The Belgium regulator said that people that are above a certain Solvency II ratio get an exemption from providing these Knipperlicht reserves. However, we have in Belgium, and you know in Belgium there is the only company that we have where in the same legal entity we have life and non-life business, and Belgium has this thing called Fund for Future Appropriations, and there that is a certain buffer for future reserve strengthenings, for example, and we have put some millions in there to be prepared if, let's say, they're changing their politics again. Because last year in Belgium, that was not because our Solvency II ratio was too low, just nobody got an exemption there. So they are changing their politics by the year sometimes. And then the third one was the sell-off of the portfolio in Germany. There is some SST capital that will be free, but that's not really relevant for the group. In general, there will be a certain deconsolidation loss, which is in the area of between 10 and 20 million.
Okay, yes, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Ralf Hepken from KBW. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi guys. Thanks for taking my question. It's two things relating to the life result. I look at slide 19, the profit by source. What I miss on the slide is perhaps a comment on the fee result. Is there a reason that you don't split that out separately, or perhaps it's not material enough? Anything on your thinking on what might constitute a fee result would be welcome. And second, staying on the slide, the risk result has increased very forcibly, and I was wondering whether you could tell us a little bit about the underlying drivers there, and indeed also whether you see the acceleration as sustainable, or the 296 million here is a new baseline going forward. Thank you.
Yes, first for the fee result. Firstly, that's distributed through the three drivers, so that is a bit difficult to separate that. That's one point. And the other point is that we have fee business as well, which is in the banking segment from the asset management side, and which is actually originated from the life business. So if the Bolos Asset Management is managing funds which are used for unit-linked policies, part of the fee result is in the banking segment, part of it is in the life segment. So therefore, that's not an easy one to clear that up. What you're probably interested in is to know what this freedom of services business is creating in terms of fees. And I wouldn't have the figure at hand, but we can, for the future, we can certainly discuss whether we would like to disclose that or not. This is the first one. And the second one about the risk result, there is a one-off included because there was a release of claims reserves in there, just like just mentioned before. So I think that the 240 from 2015 is probably a better proxy than the 296. What's more is that currently in Switzerland, especially in the second pillar business, we have quite a tough political discussion how big the risk results might be there. And so the tariffs are by tendency going down a bit. So we shouldn't be, even though, of course, mortality gains are a natural hedge to the old age risk, but politics are not considering that as a proper way of thinking. So therefore, I think 240 is probably the better proxy for the future.
Okay, that's extremely helpful. Thank you. Just as a point on my wish list, I'm so almost skeptical or hesitant to say it, but analysts always want more stuff. But do you think it might be possible for you to analyze the risk result in future by reference to expense ratios and loss ratios, as some other companies have done? That might give us some additional insight.
Since I'm certainly not doing it myself and I'm not responsible for it in the future, I gladly take it and pass it over to my colleagues so they can do with it whatever they like then.
Okay, that's excellent. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Mr. Farquhar Murray. Please go ahead.
Morning again, gentlemen. Just now one brief follow-up, actually. I understand you're not giving the SST position as a kind of formal number, but I just wondered if you could maybe give a sense of how the SST ratio has developed through the year-to-date so far, in particular given some of the kind of sovereign spread widening. And perhaps you could just give us a bit of a color around how sensitive you would be to sovereign spreads more generally. Thanks.
Yes, I can give you that. The color will be green, actually.
More green or less green?
Well, fairly green. Comfortably green.
Okay.
It's so the and the sensitivities that we have given at the Investors Day, they still hold through. What I can tell you is that it seems that the ratio is getting a bit less nervous than it has been in the past. However, whether that's from the capital markets or because the model is getting more stable, that's another question. But still, I mean, the key questions around the SST is, is there a reason to bother around the dividend? No, obviously not. Otherwise, we wouldn't increase it. And is there a reason to bother around the capital? Neither that. Otherwise, we wouldn't increase the dividend.
Okay. Thanks, Raj.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Mr. René Locher from MainFirst. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hello, everybody. Just a few follow-up questions. So, first of all, I would like to start with slide 36. There is this EBIT matrix. And I was wondering, Germany, which was minus 53 million in 2016, you know. If you target now a combined ratio of roughly 100% in Germany, is it fair to assume that, yeah, there we should have at least a break-even EBIT in German non-life? That's the first question. Then the second one, just curious, at the very beginning, I think that's slide five. When I look at the banking and asset management, interesting, you're writing there that assets under management, third party, you're at 4.9 billion. And I mean, correct me when I'm wrong, but I think you mentioned at Investors Day that you target 5 billion in third-party assets, just as a clarification. And then, yeah, again, follow up on the cash remittance. When I'm looking at in the annual report on page 268, so that's the income statement of the Baloise Holding. They're looking at the total income, the three income streams, and, yeah, looks very volatile from 2015 to 2016. I was just wondering, what is the dividend income in, yeah, in 2016? And then my last question, here again, on cash remittance. And I am wondering, as far as I understood, you go for this 2 billion, five years, that's roughly 400 million per annum, divided, simple, 50 million share, so that's roughly 8 Swiss francs per share. And as I understood, you are also financing, like, for example, fintech project and so on and so on. And then, as an example, the mobile insurer, FRIDAY, you launched in Germany. Was this financed by the cash, or was this financed by policyholders' money? Thank you very much.
Let me try to respond to some of the question, but I'll certainly hand over to the more technical questions, René, to Martin Wenk and German Egloff. First, on the combined ratio in Germany, as we have said last year, too, we target, as of 2017, a combined ratio which is below 100 in Germany. It's clear that the German market is different, is even more competitive, is fragmented, so we don't expect it to become to land in the range of 90-95. But rather in the range of 96-98 in Germany. The asset management, and Martin will certainly allude to that, what you see on page five is the current third-party assets under management with the project objective that we have set and stated forwards, we are aiming for an additional 5 billion.
Oh, I see.
Assets under management. I'll leave the cash remittance and so forth to German, and maybe Martin can also say something additionally on the third-party project.
Yeah. Hi, René, this is Martin. I mean, Gert already said the explanation. It's really so that we want to double.
Okay.
Our third-party business. So it's by coincidence, a similar figure.
Okay, thank you.
And, for the
Oh,
That's us.
For the profit of the or the dividends or the profit of the subsidiaries, the figure is actually far less volatile than it looks between 2015 and 2016. The reason that 2015 was so high was that the valuation of the subsidiaries was revaluated, and Luxembourg was the value was increased, and Liechtenstein, the value was decreased, so therefore there was a special effect there. In fact, the dividend was 254 in 2015, and in 2016, 256, so it's more or less quite stable.
Okay, thank you.
Gentlemen, that was the last question. Sorry, we have a last second registration from Mr. Michael Huttner from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you. And I'm sure you've been asked the same question, but I wasn't listening all the time, and maybe the answer, I didn't understand the answer. Just going back to the life, the 250 million odd profit, and after 317 million of reserving, if I think of the underlying, should I add back the 300 million of reserving? Or, I mean, clearly the reserving is a negative, but how much does it, what would be the underlying if interest rates were a little bit benign? I mean, maybe not stable, but rose gently.
Well, what I said there is that the 200 million underlying is probably still quite a good guidance, because we have the re-reserving of the technical interest rate has actually different possibilities. Interest rates are rising immediately, but still the technical guarantees are too high for a while. If they stay where they are, you have to continuously re-reserve, and if they even fall, you have to re-reserve until you're on nil, I guess. So therefore, as a current guidance, the 200 million for the next, let's say, 18 months or so, is probably not a bad proxy. But you're right, the 300 million, if the situation would change dramatically, the 300 million or whatever we did in additional reserving will become free again, and then it will, of course, then add to the EBIT figure in the future.
Maybe I can add one more aspect to that, because I think it's important. You know, some of those realizing of gains already happens by managing the assets. And as you know, we have this negative rate on the short end of the curve, and if we sell bonds there, we just realize capital gains, but we also lose current income by the high coupons. So we have to put something into reserves for that we need in the future to have the income that we lose in the reserves. So some of the reserves are already consumed for that, and you cannot just add that to the profit that we have made, this 300 million. So this is it's a delicate balance that we do, and some of it is just initiated basically by asset management.
I understand. And just as a follow-on, you said 18 months, kind of 200 million kind of feel for what it could look like. Does the 18 months, is that linked to the likely of, you know, referendum and a review downwards of the conversion rate?
No. I just didn't want to say 5 years, and I didn't want to say 1 year, so I said 18 months. But
okay.
I could have said 20 months as well.
Okay.
That was an educated guess, just.
Lovely.
Because within, I don't expect a dramatic change in the interest rates for the next, let's say, 12 months. So it's earliest 18 months until you see a reaction in the figures.
I understand. That makes sense. Lovely. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We have a question from Mr. Daniel Bischoff from Baader Helvea. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. A very quick one on page 18. I mean, you reported a significant improvement in the life new business margin here. The more selective underwriting had a positive impact, but I think you also mentioned that there was a change in the calculation method. Could you explain what happened there and what the underlying improvement was?
Yes, we had, there was just some model adjustments. Up to now, we were maybe too conservative in building in the change in the or the management rules concerning the policyholder dividends, and the environment was there a bit more aggressive in the past already, and we just did that as well now. Now about the impact, I wouldn't know exactly. Probably half of it is portfolio mix, and half of it is model change, I mean, guess.
All right, thank you.
We have another follow-up question from Mr. René Locher. Please go ahead.
Yes, me again. You just forgot to answer one of my questions, and that was on these investment in insurtech, like, for example, mobility in Germany. And again, just to understand, I mean, I got a lot of data from IR department, as far as I understood. So far, you have invested 20 million. You intend to invest 50 million. But I am wondering, is this cash you upstream to the holding, or is this money from the policyholder's account? Thank you.
Yes, we are doing both. So
okay.
On Friday, so tomorrow, so not Friday, the company, that's a subsidiary. So that's real money, company money. And but we have this fund that we are setting up together with Antemis. We mentioned that in the investor day, and that's an investment like which is in the asset allocation. So that's policyholder money, or reserves. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
It's long life reserves. You don't know in advance whether it's policyholder or shareholder.
I can just add to that fact of these investments we do in InsurTech with Antemis. It's a portfolio that is supposedly to reach 50 million, and we have 600 million in private equity investments already. So basically, all we do is we take 10% of our private equity investments and allocate it in an industry that should lead to some insight for our own industry. That's all. But it has the same, let's say, the same guidance, the same expectations behind it as if we would do another private equity investment.
No, fully understood. I mean, you know, where I'm coming from is, I guess, also already at the investor's day, when you're going for $2 billion in cash, then I guess we should not expect that all that money is going back to shareholders. Otherwise, you know, I would end up at roughly 8 Swiss francs per share, right? So that's why I'm asking. Thank you very much.
I think, René, just to conclude on that, indeed, I think at the Investors Day, and we'll repeat that, the $2 billion cash into the holding serves two purposes. One is certainly to continue the attractive shareholder policy. That's one. The second one, however, being the investments in new growth, in new areas of growth, like mobile insurance, like digitalization and other things. So it's a combination of two, and it's not, as we look at those investments and those growth opportunities on a case-by-case basis, you can't tell that much of the $2 billion goes into growth and that much of the $2 billion goes to the shareholder. So that's a case-by-case judgment call depending on the opportunity and the likelihood of generating growth and profit.
Yeah, thank you. Perfect. Thank you very much.
This was the last question.
If there are no other questions, then I would like to wrap it up and thank all of you for the interesting questions and the insights, and looking forward to see you soon again.